In the world, in a world that is full of uncertainties and troubles, trusting in God, it can be a daunting task. We are surrounded or bombarded with, you know, like different voices shouting to us for our attention. They promise quick fixes and easy solutions. But true wisdom lies not in the fleeting promises of this world, but in the eternal truth found in God's word. So this morning, we turn our hearts and minds to the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs, a treasure full of divine guidance for navigating the complexities of life. So please turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. So let me pray before I read the scripture. Father, we thank you so much once again. We just pray that as I'm speaking, may you use me as my brother has prayed. Just pray, Lord, that you help to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to hear and to see, Lord. We pray for your spirit, Father, to keep our minds, that we can focus solely to what you are speaking to us this moment. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, from verses 1 through 12, in the New King James Version. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. I want to talk about this topic this morning, that a call to trust God in the journey of life. A call to trust God in the journey of life. So the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. Only a few chapters, I think it's two chapters at the end, were written by King Lemuel and another king of just Agar. But the rest of the book was written by Solomon. And it's believed that these chapters, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Solomon is writing some instructions to his son. And that's why it starts like chapter 3, verse 1. So my son is writing these instructions to his son, who was King Rehoboam. And we can see that, you know, about the inspiration of the word of God, that even Solomon was writing this, there is a touch of the Holy Spirit, because we know that Solomon himself failed in his life. Okay. He failed in his life, and his son as well, Rehoboam, did not follow God with all his heart, as Solomon meant it to be. But we can see that even if it's Solomon who is talking about these words, we see the direction of the Holy Spirit, because we understand that the Bible is inspired, and it's the, you know, the Spirit moving in the people that wrote the Bible that we have right now. So we can see here that there's a type of inspiration in this book of Proverbs, that even though he, Solomon, failed, that the Holy Spirit was guiding him to write what we have this morning. And there's something that I just wanted to highlight this before I go into these verses. The book of Proverbs, I struggled when I studied the book of Proverbs, because I used to think that in the book of Proverbs that we have, they are all promises, you know, promises that, but when the lecturer taught me that the books of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs, they are not promises, but they are general truth. What I'm trying to say is that it's not like, well, when you do this always, this is what is going to happen in your life. But it's just the general truth that, and maybe I can say 90%, if you do this, this is going to be the outcome. So we see here, like in the first four verses, where Solomon is talking to his son, and he says, for length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you if you keep my commandments. It doesn't necessarily mean that when you keep the commandments always, you are going to have length of the days and all this kind of thing. But it's a general truth. I hope you are with me. So what we have in the book of Proverbs, they are not promises, but they are general truth that if you do this, 90% the results maybe are going to be like this. But now my focus this morning is going to be on verses 5 and 6, and then 10 to 12. I wanted to give the link on these verses, because I see that there's a link from verses 5 to 6, and then 10 through verse 12. So number one that we're going to see in these verses, from verses 5 to 6, is the object of our trust, or the object of our faith. Verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So the object, here it is very clear that the object of what our trusting should be, it should be the what? The Lord. And it's not in any man. Okay, it didn't say trust in the Lord and somebody who is wise, or maybe the best man, or the holiest man, or the greatest man. It simply says trust in the Lord and not in anything. The question would be why not? Why not trusting in other things? Why not trusting in my intelligence? Why not trusting, you know, in my relatives and my they are very good people, you know, they help and whatever. Why not trusting in my job that I work? Why not all these things, but only solely on the Lord? The answer that we find from the scripture is that these other things, they fail us. You know, I can fail myself. My brothers can fail myself. I can fail me. My parents can fail me. My education, my anything that I have that I can put my trust on, they can fail me. But only God is the one who cannot fail me. He's the one who is powerful. He's reliable and constant. That's the reason why we should trust in God, because he's reliable and also he's constant. Look at what he says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. People, myself, I can change about what I'm thinking. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, my can change. Even the situation about my work that I'm doing can change. We have seen that people, they can trust their job today and tomorrow they are fired. But God is ever-present God. God who is challenging us that I, the Lord, I do not change. And because of that reason, that is the reason why we should not trust in anything but in the Lord. The question is, but what do we trust about God? What is it that we should trust about him? I have two reasons. I have two things here. Number one, we trust his character and what he revealed about himself in his word. We trust about his character and what he has revealed about himself, because he is a God who never lies. He is faithful. He is just. He is loving. He's holy. All this should make us to trust only in God. Number two, why should we What do we trust about God? We trust about His promises in His word. We trust God's promises in His word. He has promised us that He's going to guide us. He's going to provide for us. And we are coming to the time of Easter, I think 2 weeks from now. He has promised us salvation. And that's what we trust about Him. We trust, number one, His character, how He is, His being. Because He's God who never changes. But also we trust His promises. What has He revealed in His word? So that's why Solomon is saying that trust in God with all your heart. Trust in God with all your heart. And then there is a warning here in these two verses. The warning is that do not trust in your heart. Do not trust in your heart or your own understanding. Why? Why should I trust on my understanding? The answer is that because it is corrupted by sinful nature and it will lead me astray. Our understanding is not always perfect. The way how we see things, sometimes we see them like, okay, this is right way, but we find that at the end, the thing that we thought that it was the right way, it makes us to cry. It makes us to cry. I mean, my understanding, my insight and all these kind of things, they are not 100% right that I can put my trust in them. You find that people, they even including myself, I do struggle, you know, to trust in what God is doing in my life. There are sometimes that I find myself, I'm asking this question, like, I don't understand why these things are happening in my life. I don't understand. You see, the problem with us, we want to understand God's way in our lives. The way how we are wired, we want to understand things and see where we are going and see, you know, and then that has made us want to put some doubt whenever we are dealing with God, whenever we are dealing with the promises of God, whenever we are giving ourselves to His guidance, we have some doubts about where He's leading us, because we as people, we have got a problem of understanding. We want to understand what is happening to us, and we try to ask questions why those things are happening to us. But here, this passage, verses 5 and 6 is giving us this warning to say that we need to trust only in God. Okay? We need to trust only in God, and there is no self-confidence. There is no self-confidence, because, you know, like the world that we are living in, they're teaching us, you know, like that we should trust our hearts. I don't know if you have heard those kind of things. Trust your heart. Isn't it? That's what they say. Trust your heart. Trust yourself. You can make it. I've watched, you know, like some movies and you find a coach, a life coach, who is trying to give advice. You can make it. You can do it. All this kind of thing. There's not a problem. We are not talking about, you know, like inferior complexity and looking at yourself down, because we know that God has given us abilities to do things. We are not talking about that. But there is a danger if we are trusting in our heart, if we are depending on our own understanding. The danger comes with what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. He says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, that tells us that we cannot depend on what our heart tells us. Because it's wicked. You know, it's a wicked, my heart is a wicked heart. If I live my life guided or directed by my heart, then there is a big problem. Because whatever I'm going to do, it's never going to be pleasing to God. I'm going to do things that are pleasing to me. Why? Because my heart is wicked. And you know the problem that we have in trusting God. We tend to think God, you know, like maybe as a as a drunk driver, somebody who is driving us to somewhere where, you know, like he doesn't know where he's going. I remember one time we got into the taxi. I was going back home in Malawi. So we were going to the bush to see my granny and all this. So we had a taxi driver who was drunk. And I'm telling you, some people, they even got out of the car. They told him, like, you need to stop. You need to get, because he was just driving recklessly. And sometimes he could speed 120, like 80, 40, like no direction. People, they are afraid of their lives. So that's the way. The problem with us, we treat God like that. We don't trust God with our hearts because we feel like he doesn't know what he's doing with our life, isn't it? We feel like he's going to, you know, like crash the car. He's going to, because he's drunk. That's how we are afraid. We are full of fear and all this kind of thing. But God, he's God who created us. And he knows. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing with all of us. And so who? For his being, for his character, or alone, as what I've mentioned already, it should motivate us to trust him, because we know that even though things are looking like they are messy, but he knows what he's doing. He's not a drunk driver. He's going to take us to where we are going in our journey of life. And secondly, the extent of our trust. What should be the extent of our trust? Observe these verses. Verse number 6. It says, in all your ways. All your ways. It seems like it's an exaggeration, isn't it? Really? You mean all my ways? Is this what it should be? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The reason why we have a lot of Christians, believers, that are not living in a joyful life, it is because of the same thing here, you know, of not giving all our ways to God. We have some that are difficult, that we feel that this one is difficult, yes, but we are very keen to give it to the Lord. Lord, help me with that. But with the small things, you know, like which module should I take and whatever, which college should I go, we think like we can just do that, you know, on our own. But this passage, it's challenging us this morning to say, in all your ways, okay, your ways. Mostly it's talking about ways of life, like whenever you're making decision about life. I don't think it's talking about when you want to maybe to wear a cloth here. Like maybe which clothes should I wear today? No, but I'm talking about the decisions in life. You know, like when you can't make any decision in life that you are going to put God aside. In all your ways, trust in him. Why? Because he said, and he shall establish, he shall direct your path. He shall direct you. He's gonna, if you trust him, if you present your ways to him, he's gonna make your path to God. Sometimes he's gonna be not what you want. A lot of times it's not what we want. He's gonna lead us in the places where we feel like, what's happening with me? But we let us be assured that he's gonna direct, you know, he shall direct your path. Your path are going to be what he wants him, I mean what he wants you to tread, or maybe to pass on. Jesus warns us in John chapter 15, verse 4-6. He says, for without me you can do nothing. Without trusting in God, without us abiding in Jesus, without us, you know, giving our plans and everything to Jesus Christ, there is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we can do. And it literally means there is nothing that we can do. Then you may ask, now, what about these people? They don't trust in God and they are doing these good things. But have you ever asked yourself that, is that of eternal benefit that they are doing? Those people who don't trust God, who do not abide in Christ, whatever they are doing, is that of eternal value? You find that the answer is no. It's not about, it's just about on this. But if you want to do something of eternal value, that is going to take us to another world that is in heaven. We should always do things connected to Jesus Christ. We should always abide in Christ Jesus, because without him, without him, we cannot do anything. Let me finish this morning with two areas that I find that they are connected. I mentioned that I see that verse 5 and 6 is connected to these verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. And then I see two areas here that we struggle to trust God. The areas that we struggle to trust God. Number one, I see that in chapter 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. In the area of giving. You know, we struggle to trust God in the area of giving. That's why here I see that it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Pastor Graham talked a lot, I think it was last year, about, you know, giving in the book of Malachi, when he was preaching about Malachi. And I don't want to delve much into that. But what we are seeing here is that, you know, we have got, as Christians, we have got a problem with giving. I'm not talking about tithe or whatever, but giving, because we feel like if we give, then we're not going to have anything, isn't it? That's the thing that makes us want to give. You feel like, why should I give this? Because I don't have this. I need to use it for myself. And we struggle that, and it's just this month. You know, I struggled a lot with finances, like from January, February. Then I had some money, and then I had some debate, you know, with myself. Should I give this money? Like, I've been struggling. Maybe let me use this for fuel. You know, like debating, because I feel like when I give, there's nothing that I'm gonna get. I'm just giving, but that's why we struggle. But you know, like in my life, I've experienced the blessing that I've been blessed with through my giving. But that's what I mentioned in the beginning, that it's not a promise that when you give, then you're going to be having plenty and whatever. Sometimes you may give and nothing going to happen to you. But most of the times, you know, when you give, you never going to, like, maybe like important things in your life, like food and necessary things that are necessary in your life. And I've experienced this, like, in my life, that the more I give, the more that month I'm not gonna, you know, like, worry about, God blesses us when we give. And that's what this passage is talking about, so that your barns will be filled with plenty. I'm not, as I said, don't give this, my barn is gonna be plenty. But what I'm telling, that God is gonna take care of what? He's gonna take care of us as we give. So we need to trust God in our giving, because it's a challenge. We need to trust God. When we are giving, understand and trust that God is there, is going to take care of us. And lastly, is this in the area of trials. You see here it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom we dress. It's very difficult when you are going through trials to think that this is for my own good. Always we think like, God is fighting me. God is not listening to me. There is something, maybe he's a big man who just wanted to strangle my neck and all this kind of thing. That's what goes in our mind. But here it says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. And James, Apostle James, in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you are going through different trials. Okay, it doesn't mean that the trials are they are something that you can be happy and just know they are difficult as they are, but you can go through trials trusting in God that whatever is happening is for our benefit. Whatever is happening, it's challenging as they are, but it is for our benefit. And I find that that's where we struggle as believers. You know, to trust that, okay, these things, they are for my benefit. And then that's why the Solomon here is saying that, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So, how should we apply this passage this morning? The first thing that we need to do is to examine our heart. I would want to ask this question, like, whom do you trust? How do you know that I trust God? Because maybe the quickest answer that you can give is that I trust God, but how do you know that you trust God? Whenever you're in trouble, what comes first? What is your first reaction? Do you go for prayer, or do you call your mother, or do you call your, boss or whoever? Whenever you're in trouble, what comes first? If it is other thing, maybe others, or maybe ourselves, when we are in trouble, we feel like, oh, I have strength. You know, I'm going to pick myself up. Then we have got a problem. We don't trust in what? In the Lord. Number two, do you bring your plans to God? Have you brought your plans, even for this year, or even for this week, even for the Easter, to the Lord already? Or maybe you just execute whatever you have without... I'm not trying to say that this is a passive trust where you are just saying, oh Lord, do it for me, no. But what I'm trying to say that, have you present your plans to God and say, Lord, help me, direct me if these are the things for the Easter and for all these kind of things. If you have not done that, then you have got a problem with trusting the what? The Lord. So what should we do? Because I myself, I found when I was preparing this, I found that I've got a problem with trust. I have a problem with trust. It's not, there are some things that I do just by my strength, you know. But then what should we do? Because all of us, we are falling short of this. Number one, we may take another, maybe, you know, like a solution of like, okay, let me try now, begin to work hard. I'm going to trust in the Lord. That one is never going to take maybe a week. Never going to, it's never going to take hours. Before maybe 4 o'clock this evening, you find that you've failed again. You haven't trusted the Lord. Why? As I mentioned already, that we can't beat ourselves because we are always, you know, like we are always doing some things that are contrary to God. And that also applies to trust. We always have something that we have difficulties in trusting God. But then, what should we do? I want to point to us to something that is trustworthy, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. In all the areas that we fail to trust God, okay, we can trust Jesus Christ, knowing that He has trusted God on our behalf. And then we cannot be beating ourselves. You know, we cannot be beating ourselves when we fail to trust God. This passage is encouraging us that we need to trust God, but we have got a problem. But not always we're going to, because God wants us to trust Him fully. You know, fully meaning like complete. But the problem, you and I, we have got a problem that we can't trust Him. And then in those moments, what should we do? We can look at Christ Jesus, who trusted God on our behalf. In verse 27 of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 43, his enemies said this: He trusted in the Lord, let God deliver him. You know, those people who are crucifying Jesus said, He trusted because they knew, even those sinners, even those people, they knew that Jesus Christ trusted in the Lord. So we can also shift, you know, our trust to Him. When we fail, we have failed to trust in God. There is somebody who has represented us. He has trusted God in always, and we can put our trust in Him and have peace and have confidence in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. As we're going to be on the Easter holiday, we're going to reflect on His faithfulness, Lord, to trust, to obey you in everything, Lord, that you commanded Him to do here on earth. Lord, we are guilty of not trusting you this morning. We know areas that we have failed you. But Lord, we pray that may you forgive us and may you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit. May you empower us that we can live in this life of in this journey of life, trusting in you and trusting in Jesus Christ for what He has done for us, to redeem us from the curse of the law so that we can live in freedom, Lord. So we thank you this morning. May you help us as we continue meditating upon this word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.